Now that may surprise you. We think of judgment, judgment day. We know Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. But what I'm going to talk about today is related to it very heavily, but really has more to do with you and me and what role we play in judgment. Here's what I mean. When you hear people talk about God today who are not Christians, not of the faith, or perhaps not of any faith, who is the judge? Who judges whom? The answer is, I think, we judge God. Don't you hear it everywhere? How can I believe in a God, well, when I was a kid, who lets 6 million Jews die in Germany? Could update it. How can I believe in a God who allows tens of millions to die in Soviet Russia, in communist China? How can I believe in a God who allows planes to slam into the World Trade Center for so many innocent people to die? How can I believe in a God, fill in the blanks, it can be very personal. How can I believe in a God who has given me a sentence of death with this cancer that I now have? How can I believe in a God who would take my infant child away from me? How can I believe? Do you see what I'm saying? It's hard to answer, isn't it? There are answers, by the way, and Christians are very often able to point them out to people and kind of have a discussion, sometimes an argument about it. But at the root of it, there is an error that clings to people who say these sorts of things. The error is they have the wrong answer to the question, who judges whom? C.S. Lewis pointed this out long ago. He even wrote a book or an essay in a book called God in the Dock. The dock is the place in England when, if you are on trial, you sit in a box. And that's where you are, and that's where you are tried. He pointed out that people today treat God this way, as if he's the defendant. And we are the prosecutors and the judge, and sometimes, if we happen to be on God's side, we can be counsel for the defense. I often think of Psalm 2 when I hear these kinds of things. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Yet I have to set my Holy One on Zion. Judgment, you see, does not belong to us. It belongs to God. God is not the one who is on trial. We are. Perhaps it can be summed up with those two men who hung upon the crosses in the midst of which Jesus likewise was hung. The one, at least at the outset, we do not know the conclusion, clearly puts Jesus on trial, along with the scoffers and all who would gladly see him dead. Come on, Jesus, if there's anything to you, come on down. If you are who you say you are, do what I want. Rescue me in this way, at this time, in the manner of my choosing. Does he sound familiar? Does he not sound like the world today? Judging God at every turn until they have judged him out of existence and go on their merry way. Living life, what does it say in Judge? Every man lived and did as he chose. There was no judge in Israel, but he did what was right in their own eyes. And that is the world we live in. We live in the world of the impenitent thief. Remember, or impenitent insurrectionist, because that's what he was. And so was his partner on the other side of him. He, at the outset, I believe, joins in a little bit. And then the irony of it all catches up with him. What are you saying? You're hanging from a cross because you were judged guilty of a crime, and yet even here, you are going to judge this innocent man You are going to put him on trial to make him satisfy your demands. Do you see how awful that looks? How sad? How ironic? What a twist. The penitent thief did. He, as it were, comes to his senses like the prodigal son. And he says, "Brother, what are you saying? We are here because we deserve to be here." So he's penitent, isn't he? He recognizes the reality of his situation. And then he recognizes the reality of Jesus. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's what you might call a leap of faith, right? There is a dying man between you and another dying man, and you look at him and you look at the other one and you say, "There's a difference here." He says the difference is this man has done nothing wrong, but you know there's more than that. Plenty of innocent people die in this world. But he recognizes that that man, that crucified man, is the Lord of life. The dying man is the one who gives life. That man is the one who can forgive him. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He even sees that Jesus, by dying, is going into his kingdom. How many of us see that? How many of us would see that if we were in the same circumstance as that man? It's extraordinary. But it happens to be true. And so Jesus says to him, Today, you will be with me in paradise. And your dying will prove to be your liberation and your life. This all fits together, I think, under the command that Jesus gives us to watch, because we need to know how to watch for Jesus' return. I know there are people who will get out the newspaper or whatever passes for the newspaper these days, Twitter or news story online, and try to fit it into the signs of the times. "Look, this is happening, that's happening. I think I know a place in Revelation that talks about this. I wonder when the rapture will happen," and we all get zipped up except for the ones who don't know about the rapture. "I wonder this and that." And that's me watching for Jesus' return. I don't think that is. We're invited to look at what's going on around us to see that this world is passing away, but we're also commanded to do what we are commanded to do in Holy Scripture, which is to repent. We are to occupy the position of the second thief. And we are to say to Jesus, "Lord, remember me, you who are now in your kingdom, you who have died, you who rose again and have promised me forgiveness and life and salvation through faith in you. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Lord, judge me and find me not guilty, not because I am an innocent man like you, but because you gave your innocence to me. You handed it to me, the font, at the altar. You keep doing that. In your word, you promise me that daily and richly you forgive my sins and the sins of all believers." And that's how you watch. It's not with the newspaper or the Twitter account. It's not with the newspaper, Twitter account, and a Bible. It's with the scriptures and the words that are recorded there. Because for everyone who recognizes in himself or herself that second thief, the words of Jesus to him apply to you as well. Not this today, but sometime there will be a today when you will be with him in paradise. Our Old Testament reading pictures a world that's kind of like ours. We hear about the wicked prospering. We call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers prosper. They put God to the test. He does nothing. God's answer is, "I will remember. I will remember who is faithful to me, And the day will come when I will judge between the righteous and the wicked, the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. The one who serves God is the one who is faithful to Jesus Christ and to his promise. And so for this last Sunday of the church year, I would encourage you to watch by being penitent, by trusting the word of Jesus Christ, that you will be with him in paradise through the forgiveness that he has given you by his dying and rising again. Amen.